And welcome back to The Power of Now, a guide to spiritual enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Today we're doing a book study on A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, written by Eckhart Tolle. And we hope you have your copy so that you can follow along with us. Today we are on Chapter 2, Section 5, Ego, The Current State of Humanity, Identification with Things. My name is Barbara Wainwright, and I'm here with Gilda Simonet. Welcome, Gilda.
Thank you. The people in the advertising industry know very well that in order to sell things that people don't really need, they must convince them that those things will add something to how they will see themselves or are seen by others. In other words, add something to their sense of self. They do this, for example, by telling you that you will stand out from the crowd by using this product, and so by implication, be more fool yourself. Or they may create an association in your mind between the product and a famous person, or a youthful, attractive, or happy-looking person. Even pictures of older deceased celebrities in their prime work well for that purpose. The unspoken assumption is that by buying this product, through some magical act of appropriation, you become like them, or rather, the surface image of them. And so in many cases, you are not buying a product, but an identity enhancer. Designer labels are primarily collective identities that you buy into. They are expensive and therefore exclusive. If everybody could buy them, they would lose their psychological value, and all you'd be left with would be their material value, which likely amounts to a fraction of what you paid.
So I like how he uses the word identity enhancer, because it's ego booster is what came to my mind when he said that. Oh my gosh. So basically, it is an ego booster, an identity enhancer, a way to make someone feel more important. And truly, that's ego working overtime. What kind of things you identify with will vary from person to person, according to age, gender, income, social class, fashion, and the surrounding culture, and so on. What you identify with is all to do with content, whereas the unconscious compulsion to identify is structural. It is one of the most basic ways in which the egoic mind operates.
Paradoxically, what keeps the so-called consumer society going is the fact that trying to find yourself through things doesn't work. The ego satisfaction is short-lived, and so you keep looking for more. Keep buying, keep consuming.
And that's kind of like an addiction. I know people that are addicted to spending money, and then they're broke all the time because they can't stop themselves from spending money. So what are they doing? They're trying to enhance their identity. It's an ego builder move. So they're trying to feel better about who they are because they're trying to identify with the things that they have in their life instead of recognizing their true value, which is they're a spiritual being. And we're so much more than the things we have our own. Of course, in this physical dimension that our surface selves inhabit, things are a necessary and inescapable part of our lives. We need housing, clothes, furniture, tools, and transportation. There may also be things in our lives that we value because of their beauty or inherent quality. quality. We need to honor the world of things, not despise it. Each thing has beingness, is a temporary form that has its origin within the formless one life, the source of all things, all bodies, all forms. In most ancient cultures, people believed that everything, even so-called inanimate objects, had an indwelling spirit. And in this respect, they were closer to the truth than we are today. When you live in a world deadened by mental abstraction, you don't sense the aliveness of the universe anymore. Most people don't inhabit a living reality, but a conceptualized one.
But we cannot really honor things if we use them as a means to self-enhancement. That is to say, if we try to find ourselves through them. This is exactly what the ego does. Ego identification with things creates attachment to things, obsession with things, which in turn creates our consumer society and economic structures, where the only measure of progress is always more. The unchecked striving for more, for endless growth, is a dysfunction and a disease. It is the same dysfunction the cancerous cell manifests, whose only goal is to multiply itself, unaware that it is bringing about its own destruction by destroying the organism of which it is a part. Some economists are so attached to the notion of growth that they can't let go of that word. So they refer to recession as a time of negative growth.
A large part of many people's lives is consumed by an obsessive preoccupation with things. This is why one of the ills of our times is object proliferation. When you can no longer feel the life that you are likely trying to fill up your life with things. As a spiritual practice, I suggest that you investigate your relationship with the world of things through self-observation, and in particular, things that are designated with the word my. You need to be alert and honest to find out, for example, whether your sense of self-worth is bound up with things you possess. Do certain things induce a subtle feeling of importance or superiority? Does the lack of them make you feel inferior to others who have more than you? Do you casually mention things you own or show them off to increase your sense of worth in someone else's eyes and through them in your own? Do you feel resentful or angry and somehow diminished in your sense of self when someone else has more than you or when you lose a prized possession? I think these are very important questions that would be good to reflect on and honestly answer.
Right, like reading that last part, it reminded me of growing up and like going to high school. Like you always had to have like the cool stuff, like the cool clothes, like the right car, the right everything.
Yes, and if you did not, then you were judged by your peers.
Right.
So I think that sets us up to be even more identified with our ego when we live in a judgmental society like that.
That's so true.
There was a book, I think it was called 101 Ways to Simplify Your Life. I'm like, yes, I want to read that book. And truly, a simple life is so humble. It's relaxing. It's stress-free. I think of myself as having and living a simple life, and I love it.
I feel the same way. I guess I live a minimalistic life.
Yes. Yes, that is really a great way to live, letting go of attachments. things that are functional are important. Like, I have a phone, it's an old phone, but it works. Do I need a new phone? No. I don't have the latest and greatest of everything. Quality is important, I believe, but not because it makes me look better.
Yeah, not because it's flashy.
Right. It's because I know that it will have longevity, and that's important to me.
Yeah, it's a good value to
Yeah. Well, I hope you are finding value in our podcast and these episodes, and we look forward to seeing you next week. I hope you have a great one. Bye now.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to go deeper into a spiritual conversation, you can join our Facebook group, The Power of Now, A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Or you can contribute by going to wainwrightglobal.com/go/support.